So we've got our final batch for you now, batch number 7. Before we go into Uta's one and only snippets, we have 4 more stories for you, and the headlines from Uta are...
Well, Skelbach plans to use Newcastle student flats as service apartments. Well, it is set for approval now. And then we have a call for Staffordshire's £7.6 billion pension fund to invest more in Stoke-on-Trent.
And my headlines coming up are Rough Sleeper living in Westport Lake portable loos banned from going to church, and Stoke-on-Trent takeaway firm wins planning fight to keep a giant mural. So over to Uta, who's going to do the first story for us.
Yes, it's all about these student apartments or student flats. Well, plans to offer vacant student flats to the general public have been scaled back again. Well, I thought it was just going forward. Anyway, we see how it goes. Council planners previously refused an application to temporarily use 68 flats at Deacon's Yard in Newcastle as serviced apartments until September due to concerns over parking. But developer Integritas Property Group, IPG, has now come back with similar plans involving just 40 of the 273 flats at Deacon's Yard. Officers at Newcastle Borough Council have recommended the new application for approval. Deacon's Yard, on the site of the former Jubilee Bus, is finally nearing completion, 8 years after construction started. The complex was due to welcome its first student tenants in time for the start of the academic last year, September. But the project was hit with further delays. A planning condition limits the use of the building to students. IPG initially applied for a temporary relaxation of this condition to allow all 273 flats to be rented out to non-student tenants on a temporary basis before reverting back to student accommodation in September 2025. The company later amended its application to include just 68 flats after Highways officers raised concerns that the proposals would lead to parking chaos on nearby streets. There are just 19 off-street parking spaces on the development, which officers considered sufficient for the building's student residents, but not the general public. Members of the Council Planning Committee still voted to refuse the application, going against their officers' recommendation due to the parking issue. Planning Committee members will consider the new application when they meet on Tuesday, February 25th. The report to committee states, on the basis that only 40 of the 273 rooms would be occupied, which would result in a lesser parking shortfall than the approved scheme, it is not considered that a refusal on highway safety grounds could be sustained. IPG says that 50% of the flats have now been let to future student tenants and that the temporary use of 40 as serviced apartments will allow it to soft test the building. A spokesperson for IPG said, "We are delighted with the impending approval for short-term lets at Deacon's Yard and would like to extend our sincere thanks to the local authority for their support in helping us deliver this landmark development." The local community has also been incredibly positive about seeing this long-standing building finally reach completion, which is fantastic to see. This approval is a significant moment for the project as it allows us to soft test the building ahead of the September student intake. Ensuring a seamless transition for students arriving from across the globe, many of whom will be visiting the UK for the first time, is absolutely crucial. By welcoming short-term residents in the lead-up to term time, we can refine operations and ensure the best possible experience for our students. So far, the feedback from those who have toured the property has been outstanding. Many students have told us that Deacon's Yard surpasses any other student accommodation they've seen in the area, particularly praising the thoughtfully designed separate sleeping areas in the studios as the spacious and other rooms and the spacious ensuite bathrooms. Demand has been strong with over 50% of the building now let, and we anticipate that even busier periods will have the rental market and the rental inquiries peak in April and May. IPG took over the project in 2023 after the building had been left incomplete for years due to the original developer running out of money. Now over to you, Tim.
Wonderful stuff. So my first one is a quite intriguing story. Rough sleeper living in Westport Lake Portable Loose is banned from going to church. Well, what's the story here? Well, a homeless drunk living in portable toilets at Westport Lake used racist language to church staff who were too busy to deal with him. Stephen Armstrong, who has been an alcoholic since the age of 17, was unhappy and told staff at Swanbank Methodist Church in Burslem, "You haven't got any time for me, and you have got time for swear word." The 53-year-old also made offensive comments to a woman who works in a coffee shop linked with the church. Now, Armstrong has been handed an 18-month community order at North Staffordshire Justice Centre and was made the subject of a 12-month restraining order which prevents him from going to the church or contacting the victim of his offensive comments. Prosecutor Thomas Wickstead said the defendant made offensive comments to a coffee shop worker between May and July 2023. Mr. Wickstead said she said he was always quiet and polite. However, she heard him being abusive. He was asked to leave, and another member of staff, he abused the worker as he left. On August the 13th, 2023, Armstrong went to speak to the member of staff at Swanbank Methodist Church after the service finished. Mr. Wickstead said they were too busy to deal with him, and he said to them, "You have not got any time for me, and you've got time for..." swear word. And the next day, Armstrong made comments and shouted that people do not believe in him or give him a chance. And he made an offensive comment about the shop worker he had abused previously. The court heard Armstrong had been drinking between 7 and 8 litres of white cider with a 7.5% volume per day. He told probation he did not mean to speak like he did and put his behaviour down to the amount of alcohol he had consumed. He is currently homeless and staying at public portable toilets at Westport Lake. He started drinking when he was aged 8 and he was an alcoholic by the age of 17. Armstrong, of no fixed address, pleaded guilty to racially aggravated threatening words of behaviour and 2 charges of using threatening words or behaviour. Callum Starr, mitigating, said Armstrong pleaded guilty, which saved witnesses from having to give evidence at the trial. He said Armstrong accepts his comments were highly inappropriate, and Mr. Starr said the defendant has had issues with alcohol and suffers with paranoia. He added the defendant is keen to work with probation. As part of the community order, Armstrong must complete a rehabilitation activity requirement for 35 days. He was made the subject of a restraining order which prevents him from contacting his victim or attending Swanbank Methodist Church or its associated shop for 12 months. He was fined £108 and ordered to pay £400 costs and £114 surcharge, which is a bit crazy, really, for someone who's homeless and has no money. So over to Uta, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number 7.
Money, money, money. Well, £7.6 billion are going to be invested in Stoke-on-Trent. Well, in the pension fund, actually. Staffordshire's £7.55 billion pension fund. The pension pot should be used to boost the area's economy, councillors say. £7.55 billion. More than 123,000 people are members of the Staffordshire Pension Fund, which invests their money all over the world. But only a small fraction is invested within Staffordshire itself, and the fund has no specific requirement to invest locally. Now, members of the audit committee at Stoke-on-Trent City Council have called for this to change, saying the area is potentially missing out on millions of pounds of funding. The committee was given a presentation on how the pension fund currently operates after members previously asked how much is invested locally. Staffordshire County Council administers the fund for 544 employers, including local authorities, schools and other public sector organisations, while the City Council contributes around 20% of the fund's assets. It has no active decision-making role. The primary aim of the pension fund's investment strategy is to ensure there are sufficient funds to pay benefits to its members. But it can also make investment decisions based on social or environmental considerations, which could include local investment. The committee has told, or was told, that Greater Manchester Pension Fund is unusual in having a specific 5% allocation to local investment, which has helped create more than 7,500 jobs and 4,395 new homes in the Northwest. Most local government pension funds, including Staffordshire's, do not have such a requirement. Committee member Andy Platt believes that doing something similar to Greater Manchester would or could have a big impact locally. He said Greater Manchester's example is definitely something we should be raising with the County Council. If they just invested 5% locally, that's huge, millions of pounds. In the past, the fund has invested in a hotel in Mayfair, but not one in Stoke. They invested in a business in County Durham, but not in Stoke. That's madness. There's always going to be a risk when you invest anywhere. But there's be less of a risk if you invest locally because that money is coming back here. It benefits the fund's members as well. Items on the council's own capital programme ought to be routinely put to the pension fund for investment, saying, put your money where your members are. Councillor Steve Blakemore suggested that putting money into green energy projects in Stoke-on-Trent could meet both environmental and local investment aims. Most of Staffordshire Pension Fund's assets are invested in stocks and shares around the world, including nearly 40% in North America. The committee was told that place-based impact investment was currently being discussed at a national level, with the government carrying out a review with the aim of increasing pension fund investment in the UK. Staffordshire Pension Committee Chairman Mike Sutherland, who did not attend the audit committee meeting, said the issue was also being considered in Staffordshire. He said Staffordshire Pension Fund has significant exposure to UK assets, some of which are in Staffordshire. Whilst the fund does not currently have a specific allocation to local investments, in line with the recent UK government Fit for the Future consultation, the fund is working with LGPS Central Limited and its partner funds to determine how local investments can best form part of any future allocation. Over to you, Tim.
Okay, many thanks for that. So my final story for you now, and our final story of the edition this week for batch number 7 is Stoke-on-Trent takeaway firm wins planning fight to keep a giant mural. A takeaway firm has won its planning fight to keep a huge mural on the side of its Stoke-on-Trent base after the council received an anonymous complaint. Fenton-based Food Hub, an online fast food ordering app, had to lodge a respective advertising consent application in a bid to keep the colourful mural, which it describes as bold and conveying a positive message. But the mural can now remain after Stoke-on-Trent City Council allowed it to stay. The Duke Street business, founded by former Co-op Academy students Adrian Muller and Mohammed Shakil in 2017, competes with the likes of Just Eat, Deliveroo and Uber Eats. In the planning statement submitted on the firm's behalf, it stated the applicant was unaware of the need for consent and commissioned a local artist to design and create an art mural at Fenn House, Duke Street. Following an anonymous complaint, the local planning authority, the LPA, contacted the applicant and advised that the consent was required for the display of the mural. Describing the mural, the statement adds, the bold colours and dynamic composition enliven the streetscape, capturing the attention of passers-by and inviting closer inspection. The positive message conveyed by the mural aligns with the spirit of the local community, promoting creativity, innovation and a sense of place. By incorporating this mural into the urban fabric, the area will benefit from increased visual interest, enhanced community pride, and a more vibrant and engaging public space. The mural will serve as a lasting legacy, contributing to the cultural and artistic heritage of the city. The application also stated that although Food Hub has expanded into Australia, New Zealand and the USA, it's proud of its roots in Stoke-on-Trent and continues to represent the city on a global scale. The firm says it employs hundreds of people within the city. Adrian Muller, the current CEO of Food Hub, has made Stoke-on-Trent his home and business base, driven by a desire to give back to the city in which he grew up. The statement added, despite opportunities to expand in other nearby cities, Food Hub has chosen to invest millions into Stoke-on-Trent by purchasing offices and buildings with a focus on employing local talent. Food Hub is committed to supporting the community through charity events and technology expos, reflecting the company's strong roots in the region. In line with this commitment, the applicant commissioned a local artist to create the mural to enhance the area, much like similar art installations found in other cities. So that's it for local news and features. And our final story, keep listening, because we have Uta's one and only snippets coming up very, very shortly.